Today on Commuter Bible, the prophet Jeremiah navigates life in Judah after its fall to the Chaldean army. It's Jeremiah chapters 39 through 42 and Isaiah chapter 25. This is Commuter Bible, the audio Bible podcast to match your weekly schedule. I'm your host, John Ross. In today's episode, the prophecies of Jeremiah are coming to pass. The Chaldean army lays siege to Jerusalem, and Zedekiah meets Nebuchadnezzar face to face. Those who have surrendered to the Chaldeans have been spared, and those who resisted are put to the sword. Through it all, the Lord keeps his promises and protects Jeremiah from harm, and what's more, the leaders of the Chaldean army treat Jeremiah with greater honor and respect than the leaders of Judah did. As Jeremiah continues to serve the Lord through this transition, he must navigate new relationships and new authorities. Jeremiah, chapters 39 through 42. In the ninth year of King Zedekiah of Judah, in the 10th month, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon advanced against Jerusalem with his entire army and laid siege to it. In the 4th month of Zedekiah's 11th year, on the 9th day of the month, the city was broken into. All the officials of the king of Babylon entered and sat at the middle gate. Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar, Nebusarakim, the chief of staff, Nergal-Sharezer, the chief soothsayer, and all the rest of the officials of Babylon's king. When King Zedekiah of Judah and all the fighting men saw them, they fled. They left the city at night by way of the king's garden through the city gate between the two walls. They left along the route to the Araba. However, the Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. They arrested him and brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon's king, at Riblah in the land of Hamath. The king passed sentence on him there. At Riblah, the king of Babylon slaughtered Zedekiah's sons before his eyes, and he also slaughtered all Judah's nobles. Then he blinded Zedekiah and put him in bronze chains to take him to Babylon. The Chaldeans next burned down the king's palace and the people's houses and tore down the walls of Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guards, deported the rest of the people to Babylon, those who had remained in the city and those deserters who had defected to him along with the rest of the people who remained. However, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guards, left in the land of Judah some of the poor people who owned nothing, and he gave them vineyards and fields at that time. Speaking through Nebuzaradan, captain of the guards, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon gave orders concerning Jeremiah.
Take him and look after him. Don't do him any harm, but do for him whatever he says.
Nebuzaradan, captain of the guards, Nebushashban, the chief of staff, Nergal-Sharezer, the chief soothsayer, and all the captains of Babylon's king had Jeremiah brought from the guards' courtyard and turned him over to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, to take him home. So he settled among his own people. Now the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah when he was confined in the guard's courtyard.
Go tell Ebed-Melech the Cushite, this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. I am about to fulfill my words for disaster and not for good against this city. They will take place before your eyes on that day. But I will rescue you on that day. This is the Lord's declaration. And you will not be handed over to the men you dread. Indeed, I will certainly deliver you so that you do not fall by the sword. because you have trusted in me. You will retain your life like the spoils of war. This is the Lord's declaration.
This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, captain of the guards, released him at Ramah. When he found him, he was bound in chains with all the exiles of Jerusalem and Judah who were being exiled to Babylon. The captain of the guards took Jeremiah and said to him, "The Lord your God decreed this disaster on this place, and the Lord has fulfilled it. He has done just what he decreed. Because you people have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed him, this thing has happened. Now pay attention. Today I am setting you free from the chains that were on your hands. If it pleases you to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will take care of you. But if it seems wrong to you to come with me to Babylon, go no farther. Look, the whole land is in front of you. Wherever it seems good and right for you to go, go there." When Jeremiah had not yet turned to go, Nebuzaradan said to him, "Return to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has appointed over the cities of Judah, and stay with him among the people, or go wherever it seems right for you to go." So the captain of the guards gave him a ration and a gift and released him. Jeremiah therefore went to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah, and he stayed with him among the people who remained in the land. All the commanders of the armies that were in the countryside, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, over the land. He had been put in charge of the men, women, and children from among the poorest of the land, who had not been deported to Babylon. So they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. The commanders included Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Johanan and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, Sariah, son of Tanhumath, the sons of Ephi, the Netaphathite, and Jezaniah, son of the Maacathite, they and their men. Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, swore an oath to them and their men, assuring them, "Don't be afraid to serve the Chaldeans. Live in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will go well for you. As for me, I am going to live in Mizpah to represent you before the Chaldeans who come to us. As for you, gather wine, summer fruit, and oil. Place them in your storage jars and live in the cities you have captured." When all the Judeans in Moab and among the Ammonites and in Edom and in all the other lands also heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant in Judah and had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, over them, they all returned from all the places where they had been banished and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and harvested a great amount of wine and summer fruit. Meanwhile, Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the armies in the countryside came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and warned him, "Don't you realize that Baalis, king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, to kill you?" But Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, would not believe them. Then Johanan, son of Kareah, suggested to Gedaliah in private at Mizpah, "Let me go kill Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. No one will know it. Why should he kill you and allow all of Judah that has gathered around you to scatter and the remnant of Judah to perish?" But Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, responded to Johanan, son of Kareah, "Don't do that. What you're saying about Ishmael is a lie." Thank you.
seventh month, Ishmael son of Nethaniah, son of Elishama of the royal family, and one of the king's chief officers, came with 10 men to Gedaliah son of Ahikam at Mizpah. They ate a meal together there in Mizpah, but then Ishmael son of Nethaniah and the 10 men who were with him got up and struck down Gedaliah son of Ahikam, son of Shaphan, with the sword. He killed the one the king of Babylon had appointed in the land. Ishmael also struck down all the Judeans who were with Gedaliah at Mizpah, as well as the Chaldean soldiers who were there. On the day after he had killed Gedaliah, when no one knew yet, 80 men came from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria who had shaved their heads, torn their clothes, and gashed themselves, and who were carrying grain and incense offerings to bring to the temple of the Lord. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, came out of Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he came. When he encountered them, he said, "Come to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam." But when they came into the city, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the men with him slaughtered them and threw them into a cistern. However, there were 10 men among them who said to Ishmael, "Don't kill us, for we have hidden treasure in the field, wheat, barley, oil, and honey." So he stopped and did not kill them along with their companions. Now, the cistern where Ishmael had thrown all the corpses of the men he had struck down was a large one that King Asa had made in the encounter with King Baasha of Israel. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, filled it with the slain. Then Ishmael took captive all the rest of the people of Mizpah, including the daughters of the king, all those who remained in Mizpah, over whom Nebuzaradan, captain of the guards, had appointed Gedaliah son of Ahikam. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, took them captive and set off to cross over to the Ammonites. When Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the armies with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had done, they took all their men and went to fight with Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. They found him by the great pool in Gibeon. When all the people held by Ishmael saw Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the army with him, they rejoiced. All the people whom Ishmael had taken captive from Mizpah turned around and rejoined Johanan, son of Kareah. But Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the army with him, then took from Mizpah all the remnant of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, after Ishmael had killed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam. Men, soldiers, women, children, and court officials, whom he brought back from Gibeon. They left, stopping in Gareth-Chimham, which is near Bethlehem, in order to make their way into Egypt, away from the Chaldeans. For they feared them because Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had struck down Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had appointed over the land. Then all the commanders of the armies, along with Johanan, son of Kareah, Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest, approached the prophet Jeremiah and said, "May our petition come before you. Pray to the Lord your God on our behalf, on behalf of this entire remnant. For a few of us remain out of the many, as you can see with your own eyes. That the Lord your God may tell us the way we should go and the thing we should do." So the prophet Jeremiah said to them, "I have heard. I will now pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and I will tell you every word that the Lord answers you. I won't withhold a word from you." And they said to Jeremiah, May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we don't act according to every word the Lord your God sends you to tell us. Whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we will obey the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, so that it may go well with us. We will certainly obey the Lord our God.
At the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he summoned Johanan son of Kareah, all the commanders of the armies who were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest. He said to them, "This is what the Lord says, the God of Israel to whom you sent me, to bring your petition before him. If you will indeed stay in this land, then I will rebuild and not demolish you, and I will plant and not uproot you, because I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought on you. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Don't be afraid of him. This is the Lord's declaration. Because I am with you to save you and rescue you from him, I will grant you compassion, and he will have compassion on you and allow you to return to your own soil. But if you say, 'We will not stay in this land,' in order to disobey the Lord your God, and if you say, 'No, instead, we'll go to the land of Egypt, where we will not see war or hear the sound of the ram's horn or hunger for food, and we'll live there.' Then hear the word of the Lord, remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. If you are firmly resolved to go to Egypt and stay there for a while, then the sword you fear will overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine you are worried about will follow on your heels there to Egypt, and you will die there. All who resolve to go to Egypt to stay there for a while will die by the sword, famine, and plague. They will have no survivor or fugitive from the disaster I will bring on them. For this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. Just as my anger and fury were poured out on Jerusalem's residents, so will my fury pour out on you if you go to Egypt. You will become an example for cursing, scorn, execration, and disgrace, and you will never see this place again. The Lord has spoken concerning you, remnant of Judah. Don't go to Egypt. Know for certain that I have warned you today. You have gone astray at the cost of your lives, because you are the ones who sent me to the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray to the Lord our God on our behalf. And as for all that the Lord our God says, tell it to us, and we'll act accordingly.' For I have told you today, but you have not obeyed the Lord your God in everything he has sent me to tell you. Now therefore, know for certain that by the sword, famine, and plague, you will die in the place where you desired to go to stay for a while." Isaiah chapter 25. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have accomplished wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. For you have turned the city into a pile of rocks, a fortified city into ruins. The fortress of barbarians is no longer a city. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, a strong people will honor you. The cities of violent nations will fear you. For you have been a stronghold for the poor person, a stronghold for the needy in his distress, a refuge from storms, and a shade from heat. When the breath of the violent is like a storm against a wall, like a heat in a dry land, you will subdue the uproar of barbarians. As the shade of a cloud cools the heat of the day, so he will silence the song of the violent. On this mountain, the Lord of armies will prepare for all the peoples a feast of choice meat, a feast with aged wine, prime cuts of choice meat, fine vintage wine. On this mountain, he will destroy the burial shroud, the shroud over all the peoples, the sheet covering all the nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face and remove his people's disgrace from the whole earth. For the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Look, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he has saved us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. For the Lord's power will rest on this mountain." But Moab will be trampled in his place, as straw is trampled in a dung pile. He will spread out his arms in the middle of it, as a swimmer spreads out his arms to swim. His pride will be brought low, along with the trickery of his hands. The high-walled fortress will be brought down, thrown to the ground, to the dust. Hey, if you have any ideas for the next season of Commuter Bible in the year 2020, drop me a line and let me know what you're thinking. I want to make improvements as time goes on, but since this is not my full-time job, I realize that I can't do everything. With all of that being said, I want to know what you would like to hear next year. My hope is that we can, at the very least, iron out some of the wrinkles inherent in starting a new work, and that we make an even better season next year. So send me your thoughts at admin@commuterbible.org or message me through Facebook. Today's episode was narrated and orchestrated by me, John Ross, and co-produced by Eric Williamson. Thanks for listening, and remember, happy is the one whose delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night.